This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Oprah Winfrey has announced she's leaving Weight Watchers and giving away all her stock after revealing her recent dramatic weight loss was due to taking new weight loss drugs. Well, what impact will this have on celebrity endorsements of weight loss brands? And does this mean the diets like Weight Watchers actually don't result in long-term weight loss? Carrie Wong is a lecturer in nutrition and dietetics at Swinburne University. Carrie, welcome to Drive.
Hello.
Now, I'm assuming that Oprah's endorsement of Weight Watchers had a big impact on sales. What went wrong and what happened?
I mean, I've no doubt that when we actually have celebrity endorsements that it will attract a whole lot of followers and then people will be attracted to trying those products because of that star power. And I have a feeling that that the news of Oprah Winfrey dropping out of Weight Watchers may also lead to then people, her followers, following suit as well.
And also, she sold her stock. I mean, to me, that would indicate to me that Oprah knew about the impact, you know, walking away would have on the brand. I'm sure if we did it here, we'd be accused of insider trading or something like that. She has essentially washed her hands of it. I suppose, what does that also do to the credibility with her fans?
I mean, indeed. And I haven't looked too much into her story, and there are a lot of things that she's probably hasn't really revealed to the public. But one of the things that certainly following some sort of diet like Weight Watchers long term is that it can actually lead someone to be very mentally exhausted because, and she's also actually said this, that there's a lot of weight cycling going on. So what usually happens is that when someone goes through a deliberate dieting sort of regime, whatever that may be, they change their habits, they change their diets. Often it's quite drastic to what someone is normally used to doing. And for the first sort of short period of time, it could be a week, a few weeks, even a couple of months, people can kind of stick through it. But eventually people can get very exhausted from doing that because it's not always very natural. And sometimes what I've also seen with these sort of diets is that it involves a lot of you can haves and you can't haves. You know, you end up cutting out foods that you naturally love. Yes, stress. And then you kind of have to embrace more of the foods that don't seem as interesting. And what's also worse is it can create a lot of what we call black and white thinking. So, you know, with a lot of people that I used to work with as a dietitian, you know, one of the things that they would say was, I can't just look at food and just eat it. I have to think about how many calories is this going to give me? What am I going to do to offset it? You know, and it's almost like a bit of punishment as part of a reward kind of thing. And so it's very, very frustrating mentally to continue to live like that. And I think following something as long term, and because she's endorsing it, probably has also caused her to be mentally fatigued as well as physically, going through, you know, just making these decisions about food. And then obviously through the weight cycling, it's also very evident in research studies showing that the greater the number of diets that people go through, the more weight cycling they go through. And unfortunately, the weight loss is never permanent. And in fact, they end up gaining weight and some more on top of that. So I have a feeling that for her going through Weight Watchers and being endorsing it for such a long time, she would have had pressures to not only adhere to Weight Watchers to a certain degree, but to maintain a certain image, a certain body shape and size, perhaps to kind of live up to the endorsement. And that is a very, very long mental and physical battle.
Carrie, it's interesting because, I mean, we want to be healthy, don't we? We want to try and maintain or achieve a healthy weight. But going through this regime, it just sounds completely exhausting. And for me, it would certainly take away my enjoyment of life, being that strict on what I could eat and not being able to eat the things that I really enjoy eating. I mean, we don't want to pour sugar down our throats. But at the same time, we don't want to restrict ourselves, do we, and make it a stress?
Absolutely.
Does it have to be stressful? To lose weight?
Well, it doesn't. And I mean, the thing is, I think first of all, we have to appreciate that a lot of culture, popular culture, has created weight stigma. So we are taught from culture to think that, first of all, our bodies are imperfect and we have to do lots to change it. And also, it's very easy to blame someone who's in a bigger body size that it must be something that they're not doing. But we're actually forgetting that weight itself and the management of weight is incredibly complex, and it's based on a whole lot of different factors as well, that it's often not beyond the control of that person. So I think we have to, first of all, appreciate that we have to take that blame of weight and that weight stigma away to begin with. And then secondly, looking at we should actually change the focus to well-being rather than weight, because weight is not the end of the story. It actually should be about that person and how they're feeling, and that well-being side is not actually directly related to weight in itself.
Carrie, do you think that this will have an impact on prominent diet brands or convenient diet brands like that?
Well, I'm not sure that it will, to be honest, because there are so many. There are so many, and Weight Watchers is only one of them. And then every sort of so often you'll hear of a new product promising a quick fix. I mean, not too long ago, Kim Kardashian was actually promoting this weight loss lollipop. I kid you not. It was actually a real thing. Proclaiming that there was lollipop. Yeah. And proclaiming that it was an appetite suppressant, and that there was scientific backing. In fact, this was something we looked at in one of my classes with students. Mm. So, I mean, every now and then there will be the products that will come out promoting weight loss, rapid weight loss. And I guess it's perpetuated by the fact that we live in a culture where people want quick results. So, and especially with the star power, the celebrity endorsement, I don't believe that Oprah departing from Weight Watchers, it will... it might impact the brand, but it may not impact people following other sort of products out there.
Right. We're chatting with Carrie Wong, lecturer in nutrition and dietetics at Swinburne University, about the impact of Oprah stepping away from Weight Watchers. Carrie, is there such a thing as, you know, a quick result, or is it generally if you do get a quick result, it's unhealthy and you're likely to put it back on?
Yeah, look, very unfortunately, the answer is there's no such thing as a magic bullet to weight loss. And at least when we look at the science, it's not that simple. Let's put it this way. If we try and follow any sort of diet and we make drastic changes to food, some weight loss will occur because we're actually changing the way that we eat and we're changing our behavior and all of that. But that weight loss is often very short lived. So it might be just a matter of months. And then in the longer term, your body tries to adjust and that weight actually eventually comes back on. So if people are looking at longer term sort of weight management and even weight loss, things that promise the really quick fixes, unfortunately, I would be raising some alarm bells in my mind.
Now, Oprah,
is it too good to be true?
Oprah mentioned that she took one of the new weight loss drugs. Do they work better than diets?
So in a way, they do work. Depending, there are different types of weight loss drugs, and some are meant to be appetite suppressants. Some actually stop your body from absorbing fat, and you actually get rid of fat from your body when you go to the toilet, for example. So they do technically work, but what they don't do is they don't actually address the reason why someone might be eating a lot of food. And so one of the things that personally I think we could do more work on is actually reconnecting with our bodies. We all have the innate ability to regulate our hunger. Yeah. It's actually a thing in the non-diet sort of area in dietetics where we actually focus on reconnecting with our body and our hunger signals, because we often forget that our body can tell us what we need to eat and when we don't need to eat. That's hunger and that's fullness. Babies are really good at this. If you look at them, they can tell you exactly when they're hungry because they will scream and they will cry. And then when they're full, they will pull away. But over time, we seem to have lost that touch. And so we eat when we're not hungry, or we eat when we think we're hungry. But sometimes the eating is related to emotional sort of stress that we're experiencing, or it could be sensory triggers or other things, but not the genuine physical hunger. And I think that's a really important place to start. Just reconnect with the body, recognize when it is the right time to be eating, and then also knowing when we don't need to eat. That might actually have it. Yeah. And I've definitely had success working with people where we've just, that's really what we focused on doing. We're just reconnecting with the body.
You know what else? It's cheaper. You don't have to pay for all these delivered meals. See, I did a massive workout on my legs today at the gym, and I noticed afterwards, about an hour or two later, I had my lunch and I thought, this is not enough. I'm really, really hungry. And I started to get in tune with my body, and I had some more, and then I thought, no, I've had enough now. I feel full. But if we could do that every day, not just when we do something out of the ordinary, then I reckon that's great.
Yeah, indeed. And also what happens is that when we actually give ourselves permission to eat and permission to stop, that again can actually deal with some of the damage that dieting may do, which is, well, you can't eat this, you can't eat this, you can't control your body and all of that. Well, actually, listening to our hunger and fullness signals tells us that we can be in control.
How do we do it? Do we just sort of stop and say, okay, how am I feeling? And like, is it, I mean, it sounds easy, but is it easy to do?
Look, I mean, it does take a little bit of time to reconnect and pick up what those signals mean, because different people will classify those signals differently. But what I used to do was I used to sort of give a chart to my clients in the clinic, and I'd say, look, you know, rate yourself on how full or how hungry you feel. And it's like a continuum, like one being absolutely ravenous. So ravenous, I can, you know, eat a horse kind of ravenous, mm-hmm. to 10 being absolutely stuffed, and kind of just rating whereabouts they generally feel before or after a meal kind of thing. And so a good place to be after a meal is a comfortable sort of feeling, not too full. A place to start eating is when someone starts feeling a little bit peckish, a little bit hungry, a little bit feeling a little bit of the hunger pains, but not so much that you feel like, oh, I am absolutely starving, I will just inhale whatever, because when we actually are over hungry, we overeat. So that's also not a good place to be in either.
So you need to sort of get to it before you get to that stage.
Exactly. And because when you're beginning to feel hungry, you're more in control of how much you eat. We're more likely to enjoy our food because we're not inhaling it, so to speak. And so that also helps us to then recognize when we are full. And so the full should be a very comfortable sort of feeling of full. Don't need to eat. I mean, I could eat more if I really, really wanted to, but it's a very comfortable place to be in.
Do you know what? I'm comfortable
that
now.
That takes a bit of work.
I feel comfortable. Yeah. I feel full. I don't need to eat anything. But you know what? There's a packet of biscuits out there in the staff room, and I looked at them and I thought, no, I don't need them. I don't feel like them. So let's be in touch
Perfect.
With our bodies. I love it, Carrie.
Exactly.
Thanks for chatting with us today on Drive.
You're welcome.
Thank you. That's Carrie Wong, lecturer in nutrition and dietetics at Swinburne University. There you go. Just be in tune with your body.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.